One of the top 10 most influential men on the planet.
Hey, it's Jason Capital.
Jason Capital. He is the preeminent expert.
Jason Capital has been recognized as a top 100 entrepreneur by the White House.
There's very few people in the world like Jason Capital.
He gets right to the core.
It surrounds you with an energy unlike anything you've ever experienced.
There's a ton of value, but it's presented in a really consumable way.
In my definition, the way I describe freedom is getting what you want, when you want, with who you want.
This is pretty much just an awakening to the world.
Jason Capital.
I looked over at Grant, and Grant like leans in. Someone was like, "Oh, why did it take you a few years?" And Grant goes, "I know why." And I was like, "Why is that?" And he goes, "Cause you're a little bitch." He goes, "Cause you're a pussy." And he just goes, "You're selfish." And I was like, "Damn."
Coming to you from Bali, and I have a really awesome guest with me here today. Joel Brown, what's up, man?
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. Doing good.
Doing good.
It's kind of hard to not do good out here in this paradise, right?
It's paradise. It almost forces you to be happy. So if anyone watching, you're like, "Man, my life sucks. I'm unhappy." BS. You're just living in the wrong place. That's what it can come down to.
That's the truth.
Yeah. So, man, I just told you before the camera started rolling that, yeah, like, I just remember, like, maybe it was like 2012, 2013, like years ago, I'd be searching online for different success, just researching different stuff, and your site, page one for everything, would always come up, Addicted to Success, which is this huge, huge website, man. And I never knew, I was like, who's the guy who's running this? Because he's, at least he knows SEO and he knows what he's talking about. Like, so can you just give everyone a little background? And even for me, like, how the hell did that start and how did it get so big?
Wow, such a loaded question, bro. There's so many pieces that came together, but if I could bring it back to a point where I felt like I was most inspired, it was almost 10 years ago. I was sitting in a sales training room. I was working for a sales company in Perth, Western Australia. And I had this guy standing in front of me. He had this Rolex watch, white button-up shirt. He had this amazing looking suit. And he stood about 5'9" tall. And he stood there in front of us with so much conviction. And he was talking about really stepping into your ultimate potential and how that anything that you create in your mind, you can also turn into reality. And I was so moved by this guy, and this guy ended up challenging me to not only set goals, but to cast a 10-year vision for success. And this guy was Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street. Not Leonardo DiCaprio, but the original Wolf of Wall Street.
The real wolf.
And this was the first time I ever looked at mapping out my life or having a game plan or strategy in such a well-rounded way. I used to think goal setting was like schoolwork, right? And I hated school. I dropped out of high school when I was 16 years old. And I kind of had this like association to like writing things down, because I got taught in school, write down, you know, your goals for your career when you go to university or TAFE, you know, like this more study. And for me, I didn't connect with that.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to study. I want to like build things. I want to learn things that I value, not what the system teaches me I should value. And so that was the first time he really shifted my perception and got me excited about what I could create in my life. And the awesome thing was that he challenged me to map it out and gave me an hour to write it out, and then he had me declare it in front of the whole room. And at that time, I had to get really clear on what it is that I loved, what I was good at, and what solution I would bring to the world. And while I was there mapping that out, I was also like, man, how do I monetize this? Right? So I knew I had a little bit of research that I had to do. So after I declared my vision of, you know, I'm going to be an inspirational speaker, and I had to let go a lot of things, like, you know, let go of my past and things that I had done in my past, which I made a story that I'm not a light person, an inspirational person, because I had done bad things in the past, like drugs and, you know, sex and alcohol and all these like things from the past. And so I had to let go of that and then also plan out a new future. And Jordan said something really profound. He said, "You are not your past. You are the lessons and resources that you've gleaned from it." Mm-hmm. And the only thing standing between you and your dreams is your bullshit story as to why you can't achieve it. And I was just so moved that day. You know, I put pen to pad and got really excited about it. And I was feeling it in my body when I was declaring it. I was like, this is like, it's almost like I could touch it. It was so vivid to me in my mind. And so I went back home with just so much excitement. I started researching. I started looking up other entrepreneurs that had created online empires, people like Pete Cashmore, who created Mashable.com, and Arianna Huffington, who created Huffington Post, and Michael Arrington, who created TechCrunch as well and sold that off for hundreds of millions. And I was really inspired to build a HubSpot, like this mothership of self-development, where people like me that were inspired to chase their dreams and to be on this relentless pursuit for self-growth could come to it to learn more. And I really focused on creating a movement.
Was that part of your 10-year vision?
That was part of my 10-year vision.
What was the rest of the 10-year vision?
Oh, 10-year vision. It's funny because I said...
You said it had about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, 10 years ago. So I actually achieved everything in my 10-year vision within the first 6 years.
Damn.
Like literally down to a T. It's probably like a few things that changed. One of the things I said I want to be a millionaire, right? And I think that's just some sort of like an average benchmark for a lot of people, right? As a matter of fact, 2 years in, I was offered $1.2 million, $1.4 million, and then a $1 million offer with like a partnership for me to sell Addicted to Success. And I said no. And I can't lie, man, I was going through this tug of war at the time, you know, this 24-year-old kid that was like, you know, on this like high, creating his dream, and then all of a sudden getting offered millions.
Writes a check for $1 million.
I was like, should I do it, you know? Yeah. But, you know, after taxes, man, they take quite a bit in Australia.
They do.
And then, you know, I go and invest in a property, and then I had a non-exclusive compete that I had to sign. So that meant that I wouldn't be able to create anything like it for another 6 years. And I was just so passionate about what I was creating. I could see so many people were drawn to it, and people were emailing me, messaging me every day saying they were inspired to step into their potential. And I felt this sense of responsibility. And I also knew that I had so much more in my 10-year vision that I needed to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, writing a best-selling book, traveling the world and speaking on stages around the world, connecting with people like Gary Vaynerchuk, Tony Robbins, Les Brown, all these people I connected with. I interviewed them, and I'm in a movie with Tony Robbins. So like all these things came into fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy that I didn't sell it, because I knew what my values were and I knew what my vision was. And you know, when you're really clear on your vision, it disciplines you.
Totally.
It chooses your friends for you. It teaches you what to say yes to. It teaches you what to say no to.
Yeah.
And it was like a guiding force.
Yeah.
Me making great decisions.
Values drive everything, man. And, and so many people, 99% of people don't know what their values are.
Yeah.
And if you ask them and they do, they're going to tell you not their values, but other values that have been thrust upon them. And it drives everything. Like Roy Disney used to say, when the value is clear, decisions are easy. And it's so true, yet most people don't know that. Like, it's amazing to me that there's this thing called your values that literally drive your whole life.
Yeah.
Everything. And most people have no clue what the hell that they are.
Yeah.
And so you got really clear on your... So if we can go back a little bit, I want to unpack it a little bit.
Let's do it.
So that's the super inspirational side.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the tactical side. Because you rank for like everything, right? When related to success. You really... Like, so was there a strategy with your SEO? Obviously, SEO's changed. Or did it just... Like, what was your cadence?
I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Yeah. It's so funny because like... I had no idea how to do SEO. I thought it was some Zoltan shit, you know, like super nerdy, like, you know, sitting here at the computer and studying the analytics. I wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
I am now because I get it. I understand the importance of understanding it. But for me, what it was I had this hunger, this desire to build content. Like, I just knew that, like, every time I wrote an article, I was like, cool, I'd stem some inspiration off that one article like multiple times to create more. So I just wanted to keep creating. I think the idea of creating something was the thing that was driving me the most. It wasn't ranking above or anything like that. I didn't quite understand that until I actually started ranking, and then I realized, oh cool, we're getting more traffic now. Oh, it's because we're ranking. And I started looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on this like relentless pursuit to create this massive HubSpot to be able to cover as many bases as we could when it came to self-development. And in return, people came. And in all honesty, you know, at the time, I remember one of the reasons why I was inspired to create a website like that was because I was having to go to self-development books and read books and pull paragraphs and lines and like draw inspiration off it to go and write articles, because I couldn't find much of it online at the time. Like, I remember going to Google and typing in like motivation quotes, and there'd be this shitty ass picture of like a field of flowers and then word art on it that says like follow your dreams.
Sorry.
You know, so I was like, damn, well, I know how to use Photoshop. So I started making these really nice motivational pictures, which you see on Instagram like everywhere now, and it's kind of played out now. So you know, we were doing it back then when people weren't, and so we were ranking really well for that, and then it was driving traffic to our entrepreneur based articles and other articles too. So
Obviously, like, I think an important point you brought up was like going through all the books and stuff to read all the articles. It's such a useful way to actually learn the lessons better than just retaining it. We always say like he who teaches learns the most.
Absolutely.
And I think that's totally true. So you obviously, how many articles would you say you wrote or you've written in your life? Do you know?
I mean, I don't know how many I've written myself. I've written over 700 articles.
And these aren't 500 word bullshit SEO articles. These are like legit.
Yeah, legit.
Pour my heart out articles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some of them were like quick articles. Most of them were more in depth.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was getting D's and E's in English at school. And I had this running story that I'm not good at writing.
Yeah.
But when I started repurposing content, I needed to make a bit of a twist to it, and the more I made the twist, the more I got like interested in adding more points, and the more that I did that, the more reach the article started getting. And I realized, like, when I started writing like listicles, you know, like the top 5 ways, the 5, 10 ways, started writing those articles, they started going viral. And then I got really excited to actually sit down and block everything out and just pour from my experience and start adding my own story into it and things that I was experiencing. That's when I became a way better writer.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there's, especially now, there's saturation of content online.
Sure.
And, you know, my one of my friends, she's an incredible marketer named Sally Hogshead. She said, it's easier to be different than it is to be better.
Yes.
And you got to think, like, what makes you different? It's you. It's your experiences, right?
Yes.
It's like what's from your heart. It's the gifts that you get to share. And so I think I got my head around that pretty early, and I started creating a lot of content based off the experiences that I had, and I got rewarded for it. People would come to me and ask me to feature in certain things because it to them it was unique.
Yeah, and it certainly is a lot more identifiable then, because anyone can just pull a list from a book or something like that, but when you add your own story into it, your own life into it, your own personal stuff, that's when people start catching on. It's like Velcro. And
they really start connecting. Yeah, you got it, man. You got it.
That's so true. Yeah, and it's funny, dude, because I have with my copywriters that I train, I'd say once a week, I tell them, different is better than better.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it came from the same place, but a copywriting mentor of mine always used to beat that into my head.
Yeah.
And because everyone in selling online, most people, they think yelling is selling. The guy next to me is making a big promise, let me just make a slightly bigger promise.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. You don't want to, like, yelling isn't selling. It's different, you know?
Yeah.
And we could go off on a tangent on that. So, What books have impacted you the most?
One of the books was Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. That was like one of the first books that I felt like I read, and I was inspired to implement a lot from that book into my business.
Nice.
Before that, it was Tony Robbins' books, Awaken the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
What else was there? There was...
Anything recent?
Anything? Oh yeah, man, for sure. There's a book called Rocket Fuel.
Yes.
Have you heard of it?
Gene Wickman.
Yeah. There you go, Gene Wickman. So that book's amazing, and it really just shifted my whole perspective on what it means to be an entrepreneur and how to build a business and to be mindful of the type of people that you're hiring. And there's a difference between a visionary and an integrator.
Yes.
Right. And so the business that I have right now, the events-based business called Elevate with my business partner Emil Steenberg. We speak, we coach together, we build this business together, we draw people out here to Bali and run transformational workshops and events, and we realize that we're both visionaries. And we've done so much as just visionaries, but what we've done recently is we've gone and hired an integrator, and that integrator has just taken our business to a whole new level.
Yeah.
You know, and all these incredible businesses, like you're talking about Walt Disney, and you got Roy Disney,
sure.
Right? And so Walt was like the visionary, but Roy was the integrator. And Walt says, and it's funny because you don't hear much about Roy, but then when Walt said, we wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for Roy, so many times he saved us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the same thing with Steve Jobs.
They all have Steve Jobs and Wozniak.
Yep.
Ballmer and Gates. Like,
there you go.
You know, yeah. I went to Dan Pena's Castle Seminar a few years ago.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
That
was a hell of an experience.
I bet.
And I just remember Dan, one of the things of the journal notes that I took was he said every business, if you're going to scale, it needs a Mr. Inside and a Mr. Outside. And I think that's his way of saying visionary and integrated. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Have you read The Four Disciplines of Execution?
No, I haven't. It sounds great, though.
It is.
So check it out.
I read Traction, and then I read those. And those two together have totally like streamlined our business in such a way that, as a visionary myself, I know the stress of, like, you're doing all this stuff, but you don't, you're like, how are we doing though? Like, is that being implemented? What happened with this? You have all these projects you already forgot about. but they're loops that didn't close, and so you stress about them.
Yeah.
It's just, and it kind of eats at you in the back of your head. So,
That's because, like, I mean, I'm a visionary just like you, and so we get so much in the creative that we can be kind of like up here doing stuff.
Yes.
And there's not as much grounding, right? Yeah. So there's like not as much order. As much as we like it to be, we can come down and create order, but it takes us away from our great work and creation, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we go back down. Like, we go back down and we create the order, then we go back and then we go, wait, fuck, is it still going? I don't want to go back there and check though. I was there for a minute. I'm good. Like, I don't need to go for another year to that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so important, man. So, yeah, what are you doing now? Like, you mentioned you bring people to Bali here because you live here, obviously.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you run these transformations. Like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been asked to speak at a lot of other events over the years, and I've done that. I'm still doing that. A lot of it's inspiration. And there's a difference between inspiration and transformation, mm-hmm. right? Inspiration is getting up, sharing the story. It kind of tickles your pickle. Everyone gets excited. Awesome. They go home, but then it dies off. Transformation is the deep work. It's shifting things on a cellular level, right? Mm-hmm. It's experiential exercises. It's going into the scary, dark places that a lot of people don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And we have this application process for our events where it's like you go through two interviews, like you have to answer these questions. It's about committing, and you've got to be open to be coachable, because it's about stepping in even if you don't know what's coming next. So we create this environment where people just, like, they don't know what's happening and don't know what's coming next, and that's really getting them into uncomfortable space.
Yes.
I think the fact that a lot of people are getting on a plane to fly across to Bali, that's already the start of their transformation.
Mm-hmm.
We see it all the time. People have never left their country come out, and then they go through our process. And to me, man, honestly, you know, I launched the online programs, the masterminds online, and I do, you know, obviously I've got blog articles and got a book in the works right now and shoot videos and everything, but my favorite work is face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually staring someone in the eyes and seeing what's there, going through the process with them. And, you know, there's so many, I think men, it's getting better, but a lot of men are scared to cry, man. They're mm-hmm. scared to let it out. They're scared to open up. They think their vulnerability is a weakness. And if they knew what was on the other side of that, the power that comes with it when you've fully opened up and you've accepted the darkest parts of yourself, dude, it's like a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing when you go there. And I, you know, I've done things where I've got up and just announced and said, like, things that were like things I held onto for so many years, and like I open up and shared it, and I called my father when I realized I had this like disconnect in our relationship, and all these things that a lot of people would find tough, I had to be courageous. It was like, there's the fear, let's go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I did that, the more opened up in my life, the more abundant I became, the more unstoppable I become.
Mm-hmm.
I become a force to be reckoned with. And it's just something that so many people shy away from. So I just love getting people into that space. And Emil, my business guy, is like, man, he does interventions. He used to work on mental health retreats with people that were like suicidal and people that had been raped and all these sorts of things that they experienced in their life. And he has this like zen to him where he just sits in, he's so present, and just people that work with him feel so seen, heard, and understood. And you can do just so much with that.
Yeah,
you know,
you really can, man.
It's pretty amazing, man. Like, entrepreneurs come to us like falling apart, and they end up leaving, going back into their business and multiplying because they've like unlocked these parts themselves that never knew existed.
Yeah, most people, I think, are like Robert Moore called it the generative man, which was like the fully integrated man between king, warrior, magician, lover. And you're right, most guys have parts of those archetypes that are shut off.
Yeah.
Totally. And yeah, I mean, I agree completely with what you're talking. So what's your favorite part about like that event? Like, is there an exercise or something that you're like, you get giddy about, you can't wait to put people through it? What is it?
I mean, we switch it up. The visualization processes that we go through, there's a lead up to it,
mm-hmm.
where they go through strategy first, and then they go into sharing with their partners. Then we go through like this, it's kind of like getting them to face their death, right? And like, would you be complete if this person in your life, whoever it may be, mother, father, son, daughter, whatever, is to end their life or be ended, are you complete? And so we take him through this like whole journey, and Emil's incredible in the way that he walks them through this visualization process. And I teach the 10-year vision game plan, which I fine-tuned over the last 7 years. So for 3 years in, after I learned from Jordan Belfort,
yeah.
it was like the basics of a 10-year vision. I started refining it. I started implementing all these elements. I tested things. I like brought in new frameworks, and I've got it to the point where literally I have students that have achieving their third and fourth year vision within the first year. So they're fast tracking their success and they're getting intentional. We really teach them the tools so that when they walk away, it's not just like, cool, I felt great while I was there. They actually can continue to stay in momentum after they leave.
They actually transform.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we keep hearing from them all the time. Like every week, it's like somebody new, somebody reaches out to us and says, hey, like I implemented this tool and this is what happened in my life. And
yeah.
And that's the work, man. That's the work.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the sales process for it? Like in general, is it?
Sales process? Yeah. So, I mean, we have a lot of content on the front end. We do a lot of like, Emil and I like to make like, kind of like pulling the piss. In Australia, and we call it pulling the piss kind of videos.
I don't know, what's that mean?
Pulling the piss is like parodies, like mocking.
Gotcha.
Poking fun at like things that people take so serious, but like we kind of joke and act it out. And then, but then have the serious element on the back end so that people know that we're not just like jokesters. And then we invite them into the opportunity. And it's fun, man. I love shooting videos like that, you know, and that's where we get to have fun and express and play. And I think when people see that, they're like, oh, cool, these guys know what they're talking about and they know how to facilitate transformation, but they also love to have fun.
At the same time.
And they feel like we're meeting them at their level. And so we do a lot of that. We also have my email list with Addicted to Success. Emil is old school, dude. Have you heard of the personality matrix?
Yes.
Yeah, so you have a controller, supporter, a promoter, and analyzer.
Yeah.
And so I'm a controller and a promoter.
Yep.
And you're
controller
and promoter.
Yeah.
And Emil's a controller, supporter. So he's incredible at coaching. Like he'll over deliver and like be like really there with the people and like overextend and just be like one-on-one with each person. Whereas I'm like more mass.
Yes.
Like you
scale,
right?
Scale, yeah.
Yeah, and then so he, because he's not in his promoter, didn't know how to promote so much. And so he taught me in the process when we started working together, how to be more of a supporter, like how to really show up and stay in integrity as well and really follow through with each person. And it was great because I really needed that.
Yeah.
And I taught him how to be a promoter. So he was already getting so many clients one-on-one. They trust him so much and he's bringing them in. And he was doing a lot of like word of mouth and behind the scenes sales as well. And then I was doing the mass end and then we were going for the numbers. So we kind of bring both of those worlds together.
Yeah.
And it's an application process. They go to the page, they watch the video, they have a look through it, they click on apply, they have to fill out a form. We ask them like what their vision is, what they're struggling with, why they should be invited into the program. We don't make it easy. It's like you got to share with us why you should be a part of this because we carefully select people.
Yep.
You know, and we've had people that apply. They've got the money because we ask like how much is it per month that your income is, and just to see if they can actually qualify for it financially. And some people have the money, but they're super egotistical on the call, or they're like well, I already know everything, so they're not coachable.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're not going to be the best person to be there.
Of course, yeah.
You know, so yeah, we're very meticulous about the process.
I think you have to be in order to get that, like, there's that old saying, right? What is it, like where when the student is ready, the teacher appears or whatever, and
yeah.
So people need to be ready for the kind of deep work it sounds like you guys do there. And someone's super egotistical, that kind of thing, they're just, it's not going to get in, like the cup is full, right? I was doing, I had a couple calls here earlier today with a partner of mine where we're putting this little case study group together, and we had little 10-minute calls with people who had already applied, and we just wanted to make sure that kind of like you guys do.
Yeah.
And we turned down, I think we talked to five, we turned down three of them for those exact reasons. And one of the guys at the end was like, I don't understand, like I have the money, like you don't want it. I'm like, no, like we really don't, like there's an integrity to this, but there's also just like a fuck, dude, one bad apple will ruin the bunch, and we don't want that in there, you know, like we said, like coach them, like here's what you probably need to work on, and you can come back for round two if you want to try again. But I think there's a lot of people online, you know, like you want to come from a place of abundance, you know, and if you're like, I need a client, I need money or anything like that, you're going to be willing to take on anyone, even when you know they're a bad fit. And I strongly believe everyone feels it in their gut when they're closing someone or talking to someone, is this person a good fit or not? Like, you know it.
Yeah, yeah,
have you ever gone against, maybe when you needed money when you were younger,
I used to.
A client, you know, like.
I don't do it anymore. Dude, I have this like, I think it's just like wisdom over time. You get to a point where you just go like, even if it's getting to the end of it and they're keen, in my stomach, man, I just get this feeling.
Totally.
It's that intuition. It's just like, you've been here before, you know what this is, it's not gonna work.
This is not, yeah. The best thing you can do for that person is to tell them no, and maybe even share with them why.
I mean, what I do is I tell them that I don't feel like this is going to be the best program for them right now in the space that they're in, and I challenge them instead. So I say, I'm going to email you some things to focus on, and half the time they don't do it, and I'm like, cool, I definitely made the right decision. And then the other half, they'll do it, and then we'll get in more conversation, and then they come back around and I tell them what's required, and they can be fine, you know. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't completely shut people out. I think the idea is that some people are kind of ahead of themselves, or they're behind themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting when you see someone, you're like, man, I see the potential in this person, but they need something, you know. They've been going this way for so long to show up and then be that person, that leader that can go, there's something here that I think you may be missing, like, hey, try this.
Yeah.
And it's their choice if they do or not, but I've noticed it, and it makes a huge difference. I like challenging people and seeing if they're going to show up to the plate.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you ever tell Jordan Belfort, like, if you talked to him in the last few years or 10 years and told him the impact he made on you?
No. Dude. So his team reached out to me to do an interview, and it didn't happen. And then they invited me to one of his events, and I told them about what had come into play since training with Jordan. And we kept talking about setting up an interview, but it just never happened. So, I mean, I might reach out. I'm writing my book right now. It's the whole vision process, like my version of it and how I've expanded on it all. So I may reach out to him and share it before I put the book out, and see if we can get like a forward or like a something, man.
I bet you he would totally do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just started a podcast also. So
yeah, he announced it. I saw that.
Yeah. He's definitely on a, I know he's got a promotional push he's doing right now. I bet he would totally be keen.
I hit him up, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, dude.
So the book that you're working on right now,
yeah,
it's about the 10-year vision.
Yeah. It's called Never Settle, How to Master Your Extraordinary Vision.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been working on it right now?
Oh man, good question. You know, it's funny because you're alluding to a post that you might have seen recently on my Instagram.
No, I'm just curious.
Okay, yeah. So this is funny. So I announced that I was writing a book about 3 years ago.
Okay, I like where that started. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. and to be honest, I procrastinated on it. And it's so funny because I teach procrastination, so I have to call myself out. And what I was doing was I realized I was putting so much on my plate. I was putting out courses and speaking at events and traveling so much. And I was starting all these projects and stacking them back to back, not giving myself the space to actually sit by myself and create, mm-hmm. you know, and write a book. Because that's what it requires from you. You can't just write it while you're just walking around.
No, like you
need to be in your space, right? Yes. So my friend and I, we were in Thailand. This is a few weeks ago. And Grant Cardone gets to Thailand and he's like, Joel, where are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm in Phuket. He's like, oh, I'm on this island. It's like Koh Ya Noi. And he said, how far away are you? And I said, oh, like, I'm in another island. Like, it's funny because the island was down here and he was up here. And I was literally flying out the next day. And it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. We had to go. And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon on this other island. And no boats were going there. And I was running around the island asking people, like, hey, you know, have you got a boat that could go there? And everyone's like, no, I would never ride that far around. And I went up to this lady that was just like the last point, and I asked her, hey, if I pay you $1,000, will you get a private boat for us to go around to this other island? And she's like, we haven't done that before, but all right, like, let's do it. And they set it up. Went back and told my friend, and I'm like, hey, we're going to see Grant and Elena. And she's like, what? She's like, no way. So we went around and stopped at the dock on this other island. The guy was waiting with all our suitcases in the boat. I paid him actually to just stay there for like 6 hours straight, and then he was going to take us up to Phuket to then go to this place to then hit up the airport. And so we get to dinner and we're chatting away and everything, and then Elena was talking about how it took her a while to write a book, and Grant was giving her a hard time for it. And then Grant was going, what are you doing in Bali and what are you working on? So I was telling him what we're working on, the events and that, and then I said, you know, I'm writing my book. And then someone at the table was like, how long have you been writing your book for? And I said, for a few years. And as I said it, I kind of slowed down my words because I was like, I looked over at Grant and Grant like leans in. And then someone was like, oh, why did it take you a few years? And Grant goes, I know why. And I was like, why is that? And he goes, because you're a little bitch. He goes, because you're a pussy. And he just goes, you're selfish. And I was like, damn, I'm like, you don't hold back, do you, brother? And he laughed. He goes, no, I'm dead serious. He goes, there's people out there that need this from you, and they've needed it for a long time, and you're just sitting on your hands, you're not putting it out. He's like, get in, write your book, and get it out there. So it was like this challenge. That was his way of motivating me. And I appreciate him for that. I think it's great. And so, yeah, I'm on a 90-day challenge to get this book out. So.
I love it. I love it, man.
Yeah, it's going good, man. It's going good.
Do you have like a writing ritual that you're kind of into right now?
Yeah, every morning. Every morning I get up, and every morning I write. Like, I've got some frameworks, and sometimes I like to just let myself just kind of like spiel off the top of my head, and then I have that as like additional notes that I can pull from to like bring the book together.
Yeah.
But I know all the core parts of the book that need to be in play, and for me, it's a book that I'm creating it in a way so that it's something that's an actionable thing that when you get it, you can go and take action on your vision, and it teaches you everything you need to know in the process. And this comes from, you know, me teaching over tens of thousands of people around the world, and over 400 people face to face this whole vision process. So
yeah,
it freaking works, dude. It works. It's not just like the law of attraction, it's the law of intention.
Mm-hmm.
Set it and get it. You know, when you write it out, it's like your mind starts locking onto it. You know, because you've lived in this space too.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
It's exciting. It sounds exciting, dude. I can't wait to read it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love to see how people are innovating and what they're doing. So I will be one of the first people to buy it and read it.
Appreciate you,
yeah,
man.
100%,
amazing.
Man.
Amazing.
Yeah. So dude, I'm glad that we got to do this, man. This was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm excited that you're out here in Bali. I mean, look at this place, man. This inspires the vision as well. You know, man. And you know, they say that your environment has a 40% effect on your mental state.
Totally.
So you make sure that you're in a place that's inspiring for you.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. This place is fucking amazing. Beautiful, man. Yeah.
That's it.
Cool. Well, dude, thanks so much, man.
Brother.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep. We'll see you guys soon.
Hey, did you find that valuable? If so, we just put together a brand new program where I'm gonna be mentoring you every single week, giving you a new high income skill every single week, the same way I've mentored my first two millionaire students. If you wanna join us, click that link in the description and claim your 7-day free trial so you can see why people are buzzing so loud for this. Make sure you hit that subscribe button too, and I'll see you soon.